Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents Holiday Surprise by Julie Treadle, narrated by Joe Hempel and Carly Robbins. Luke, Chapter 1.
Thomas, this isn't up for negotiation, I argued for the millionth time.
I'm not trying to take away your power, Luke. I'm just saying a battle for Ultimate Alpha is the only fair way to do it,
Thomas Collier argued.
For weeks we had been arguing about this. I can't say it hasn't been on my mind since the first mention of merging our packs came up in discussion months ago, but I also didn't want to fight him.
Ultimate Alpha is a battle to the death, Thomas. Killing you isn't going to help merge our packs back together. You know this.
It doesn't have to be a battle to the death. I mouthed the words along with him. We had the same conversation that many times.
I really appreciate all you've been doing for the Larkin Wolves. I feel as though we're finally able to live again. There's stability at the trailer park. Having monthly pack runs at Oliver and Peyton's has started finally bringing us all together. And with the work you've given my guys, they can afford more than just the basics to survive.
We're going to be okay, I tried to assure him, sounding more confident than I felt. Life on the other side of the tracks was better. Much better, even. But it still wasn't good. Not that I'd ever admit that to him, though.
So you're saying you do not want to merge the packs now? He asked me.
Thomas was a straight shooter. He didn't even try to sugarcoat things. I liked that about him. I respected him, even. My wolf would willingly submit to his, but my pride wouldn't allow me to admit that. The Collier Alpha was fair and wanted to merge the two packs, to be just that. Ultimate Alpha would prove to both packs that the winner was worthy and strong enough to lead them all. But Collier was a lot bigger responsibility than anything I'd ever taken on, and to accept such a role, I would want Thomas by my side to help me transition. That wouldn't be possible. The hardest part to admit, even to myself, was that I didn't want the job. I didn't want to be in charge of so many, to have their lives impacted by my decisions. As Alpha of Larkin Pack, I had dozens of people to take care of. As Alpha of Collier, I'd have hundreds. I knew how hard managing a small pack was. I couldn't fathom the additional burden of so many. I know it's best for my wolves to merge the packs, I finally conceded, just as I always did when we had these talks. I just don't know how to proceed on making that happen that won't end with one of us being dead.
Thomas sighed.
I know.
We're going to find a way through this.
In the meantime, the offer of monthly stipends for your wolves still stands.
No, the wages you pay them is enough. Any more and we would be too indebted to you.
Yeah, I knew that's what you'd say.
I smiled at him. Guess we've discussed this a time or two.
And we will continue to do so until I change your mind.
Now how about the children? Have you made a decision on my offer yet?
Yes. Actually, I'd like to accept with the children starting right after the holiday break. We're having a few issues with some of our kids, particularly the two middle schoolers. I think being in an all-shifter school just might help them. But I'll warn you, they will test your staff to the max at first.
That sounds good.
And don't worry, Luke. They are aware there will likely be a tough transition period. You guys have made quite a reputation for yourselves, though I can honestly say we've had no issues with the men working out here at the ranch, not even one skirmish so far. They're still settling in and everyone's still walking on pins and needles. Give them time to fully settle in and I'm sure that won't be the case.
Thomas laughed.
Honestly, from talking to Oliver and Cruz extensively before the merger, I really didn't expect anything from your guys. However, I wasn't as confident in my own.
I hear that. My men are grateful for honest work, even if it is for a Collier.
We both laughed, knowing it was true. We said goodbye, and I got in my truck and headed over to my side of the tracks, reflecting on exactly how I'd gotten myself into this position to begin with. Larkin Pack didn't exist when I was born.
I was a young child when Jedediah had caused a split in the pack.
He had rebuked Thomas's father, who was Alpha at the time, and left, taking a few families with them. Mine had been one. My parents had thought they were right.
Jedediah was charismatic and talked a good game.
He was also a distant relative to my father. Years later, they realized they had been wrong to follow him. He had taken his savings and bought a trailer park just across the railroad tracks from Collier Land. In some sick way, I think he just wanted to shove it in Zack Collier's face that he had his wolves, and they were living in squalor right under their old Alpha's nose. Mom and Dad weren't bad people, but by the time I'd hit my teen years, they were broken beyond repair. It was them, me, and six siblings living in one tiny three-bedroom trailer. I will never forget the night it all happened. I had been out to a party with some of the local humans, even lost my virginity that night. It was pouring down rain, but I was drunk and high on life when I came home to find the place reeking of gas. I covered my face and ran inside. They had all looked so peaceful sitting around the family room, seemingly asleep. The gas stove in the kitchen was turned on, all four burners in the oven. Nothing was lit, letting the gas seep in and slowly kill them all. I remembered standing there in the kitchen, with the rain dripping down on me from the worn, leaky roof, and wondering if I should stay and join them or go get help. I couldn't call the human authorities for help, because I was drunk and feared I would get in trouble. I didn't know what to do.
But eventually my flight mechanism kicked in and I ran through the mud to Jedediah's trailer a few houses down.
I banged on the door until he finally answered.
That night was one of the first times I ever saw Jedediah with emotions other than anger.
He'd taken care of everything, and I'd lived with him until I graduated high school. My parents had left me a note the night they died confirming it had been no accident. My dad had been out of work, and they saw no future. Knowing I would be too stubborn and strong, that I would stop them, made them do it when they knew I would be away from the house. They hadn't wanted to burden me with my younger siblings and begged me to get away from the pack and start a new life somewhere else. It had taken me years to forgive them. I couldn't help but feel they had been selfish for murdering my sisters and brothers alongside them. We would have been fine. I had seen others in the pack raising their siblings. I would have done the same. Instead, they left me alone in a cruel world where it was all I could do to survive. In so many ways, I felt like I was still doing that, surviving. I never wanted to be Alpha.
Others perceived me as Jedediah's pawn and future heir, but that was a false perception.
He wasn't grooming me to take over. He pitied me, and maybe felt the smallest bit of guilt over the deaths of my family. He never officially named me heir, and I would have put my money on several others ahead of me for the position. In the end, only one stepped up upon Jed's death. I couldn't stand by and see my pack under his dictatorship.
The guy was nothing more than a punk with a chip on his shoulder, and we had already endured enough under Jedediah's reign.
I stepped up with only one challenger. He was an easy defeat, though I loathed killing anyone, especially a packmate. I felt the familiar melancholy set in as I pulled up in front of my trailer. It was the biggest and best the pack had to offer, but it was hard not to remember the days of my teenage years living there with the former Alpha. I took a deep breath as I exited the vehicle. It was all mine now, all of it, including the responsibility of my wolves. Before I even reached my door, Winnie Maverick was running across from her own trailer, waving her hand in the air.
Alpha! I'm so glad you're home. I have to ask again, is there any word?
I knew she was asking about the transition of primary and middle grade children attending school in Collier instead of their current school amongst the human kids. Her boy had been one of the two problem tweens I'd warned Thomas about. He was on the verge of being expelled, and his mother believed somehow a new school would fix all their problems. For both our sakes, I hoped she was right. Actually, Winnie, I am just returning from a meeting with Thomas Collier. We should have the details worked out soon, but it looks like we'll transition the children right about Christmas break. Her eyes misted over.
Do you really mean it?
I nodded and smiled at her. Yes, I mean it. She threw her arms around me in a hug, then shyly backed off and bared her neck to me.
Thank you, Alpha.
As she hurried back to her own home, no doubt to call the other mothers and tell them the good news, I walked inside. Home, sweet home, I sighed. The Collier Alpha house was filled with this sense of love and family. Thomas and his mate Lily didn't even live in the house, but his parents still did, and with that came generations of happiness there that was tangible the moment you walked in the door. Mine, in comparison, was a serious disappointment. I had no mate,
and I had little need for things which made the empty, lonely place feel all the more obvious. Someday I hoped to have a nicer place filled with family of my own. My fear was that I had missed the opportunity for a mate, though. I was already in my early 30s, and while Alpha was an impressive title for any wolf shifter, I knew my pack left little to be desired. Besides, I didn't have time to go looking for a mate, and if I didn't look, I'd never find her. Slowly I had been resolving myself to a life of bachelorhood. It wasn't so bad, I tried to argue as I opened the freezer and took out something questionably edible for dinner. Popping it in the microwave, I sat down at my small kitchen table and pulled out my phone. I listened to a dozen voicemails that had been left regarding some form of emergency or another. When the buzzer went off, I got up and got my meal, careful not to burn myself. I sat back down and ate in silence, alone, as usual. Luke, Chapter 2. I awoke before sunrise to a ringing phone. I groaned. Why should today be any different than any other day? People seemed to think the office job is to be on call 24/7. In some ways they're right, but it sucked, and at this point seemed to be a ritual every Sunday morning. What? I asked a little harsher than I expected. Hey, Luke, sorry to wake you so early. I waited as long as I could, Oliver Smith said. He lived just outside Collier Pack territory with his mate Peyton and his family. Oliver had been a huge help with the alliance between Collier and Larkin. I owed him a lot. It's fine. What's up, Ollie? I asked. Kenneth didn't come home last night. Peyton and the baby stayed in Collier for a sleepover with her sister and niece or something like that. Pace Carr is up on blocks for some brake work, and I have no way to go out and check on him. I'm just worried. Kenneth was the youngest of the Smith brothers. Their father was a raging alcoholic, though doing much better keeping a job, at least for the moment. Oliver had been raising his three brothers since they were just toddlers, and he was barely more than a child himself. Do you think he's at Chastity's again? I asked. I knew the two were seeing each other, and her parents were out of town for the weekend. I should have checked before I went to bed and shooed the boy home. I could still be sleeping if I'd only thought of that last night. That's my guess. He turned his cell phone off again. I know you don't want to hear this, but tell your mate. He and I both knew that Peyton had this weird way of getting through to the boy when no one else could. I know you're right, he said, not agreeing, just appeasing me. I sighed. Hold on. I dropped the phone on the bed as I grabbed some jeans and headed for the bathroom. I left Oliver waiting while I got ready. Before walking outside, I picked the phone back up. You still there? Yeah, I'm here. All right, then. Chastity's house was only four doors down from me, but around the corner and out of eyesight. The second I turned towards her place, I saw Kenneth's bike. Yeah, looks like he's here. I see the bike. Want me to wake him up and shoo him on home? Yeah. Can you scare the shit out of him in the process and not let him know I called you? I laughed. Yeah, sure. Seemed like a good use of my pent-up frustration over being awoken so early. I banged on the door. A few seconds later, the curtain fluttered in the back bedroom. I knew that's where they'd be and was watching for it. Shit, it's Luke, I heard Kenneth say. Chastity opened the door a few minutes later.
Good morning, Luke. Can I help you?
Send him out, I said.
Who?
She asked innocently. We really going to do this? Your parents are out of town. You know they asked me to look in on you. I don't think your father will appreciate your late-night entertaining any more than I enjoy coming over here to send his scrawny ass home. She rolled her eyes at me.
He's not here. See for yourself.
The second I stepped inside, I heard the motorcycle crunch across the gravel, and I turned just in time to see Kenneth, and nothing but his boxers, jump on it and fire it up as he rode away.
Kenneth! I yelled.
I'm sorry,
he yelled back over the noise of the engine.
Don't tell Peyton!
I let him go with a chuckle. Before I could walk back to my place, Chastity grabbed me by the arm. I whirled around on her, and she cowered, baring her neck to me.
I'm so sorry, Alpha. Please don't tell my pa, she begged.
I sighed. Make sure it doesn't happen again and I'll overlook it this time. But one more time, Chastity, and he'll hear about it. Are we clear? She nodded with tears welling up in her big brown eyes.
Thank you, Alpha.
Go on back inside, I said. I watched the door shut behind her and shook my head as I pulled out my cell to call Oliver back. Didn't get a chance to scare him personally, but he's on his way home. Little shit snuck out the back door. Get your camera ready, though. He ran out without his clothes, begging me not to tell Peyton as he drove off. I could have stopped him, but I think this is probably much better. He'll be lucky if he makes it home without getting picked up by the local cops for indecent exposure. We both laughed, and he thanked me again. Hanging up, I contemplated going back to bed. But who was I kidding? I was already up for the day, and it was only a matter of minutes before my phone was ringing with the next pack emergency. Oliver texted later in the day, filling me in on the comedic scene of his brother trying to sneak into the house in nothing but his underwear. The events changed. The crises differed. But overall, that was a glimpse into my life as Alpha of Larkin Pack. There was not a moment of peace or any time for me, except the lonely nights of eating frozen microwave meals by myself. Luke, Chapter 3. Waking up to a freshly fallen snow was the best. I loved the cold. It made me want to shift into my wolf and stay in that form all day long. Of course, that had never been an option before because Larkin wolves didn't have land of our own to run on. My pack turned to drugs, alcohol, sex, and fast motorcycles to help take the edge off not being able to shift. I had never really gotten into those things. When my wolf first surfaced, I would trespass on Collier land. I only got caught a few times and always discouraged others from doing it, even though I was. I also battled anger issues a lot, probably because my wolf was strong enough to be an alpha, and I wasn't able to shift as much as I needed to bring balance. I've learned to control that for the most part. There are still moments where it becomes a true test of self-discipline not to lose it, especially when someone is beating down my door every second with a perceived crisis. I walked into the kitchen prepared to have cold cereal for breakfast, but something about that snow just called to me on a primal level. Oliver and Peyton had some acreage they allowed Larkin wolves to run on. Since he kept his allegiance to us and she retained hers to Collier, neither pack could claim their land, making it neutral territory. Today felt like a good day for a run. With a plan in place, I grabbed my coat and headed out the door. I stopped short on my tiny front porch and looked out across the trailer park that comprised my pack. The greatest thing about snow is that it made everything look fresh and new, even a run-down old place like this. I took a deep breath, letting the cold burn my lungs and awaken my body. We had a few light dustings, but this was the first true snowfall of the season. I had a bounce in my step as I climbed into the cab of my pickup and drove to Kate's diner. Kate's diner sat in Collier territory. In the past, I wouldn't have dared to go there, but with the truce Thomas and I had made, it was becoming a regular stop for me.
"Morning, Luke. Grab a seat anywhere," Kate said when I entered the restaurant.
She was always friendly and never looked at me like I was an outsider. I'd gotten that a few times from her patrons when I first started eating there, but that hadn't happened in a while either.
"Thanks," I said. "Coffee?"
"I'm already on it," she said as she waltzed around, filling up others before she reached me. She had an empty cup in one hand and a full hot pot of coffee in the other. When she poured me a cup, I quickly took a big sip, savoring the heat.
"Ah, better," I told her with a smile.
"You want the usual?" she asked.
"I have a usual?"
"Two eggs, sunny side up, 6 slices of bacon, extra crispy, hash browns, also extra crispy, and toast, no butter. Ketchup is on the table."
Yeah, I have a usual," I laughed. I supposed I had been ordering the exact same thing every time I came in for breakfast.
She winked at me and left with a smirk on her face. I suspected very little got past Kate.
"Luke, hey man, didn't expect to see you here today," Oliver said as he came out from the kitchen.
"Peyton working this morning?" I asked.
"Yeah," he said sheepishly. It always amazed me how even the toughest wolves I knew got that mushy look the second you mentioned their mate.
"Hey, thanks for your help the other day. I really appreciate it," Oliver said.
"No problem. All in a day's work." I chuckled at the memory.
"You get some good pictures?"
Oliver grinned. "You know I did.
He's a good kid, Ollie. Don't go too hard on him.
Ah, no. I just hate seeing him stray down the same path Brady and I had taken.
I shrugged as Peyton came out with my plate of food.
Seems to me you've done all right for yourself.
I gave a quick wink over his shoulder at his beautiful maid who happened to be my favorite person in the morning. Peyton knew how to cook. If she were my mate, I'd probably be fat by now, and that's tough to do with a wolf metabolism.
Hey, Luke, Kate told me you were in,
she said as she personally delivered my meal. Honestly, I figured it was a beautiful day for a run, if you're okay with that, I asked them both.
Yeah, of course. You're always welcome to our woods, you know that,
Peyton assured me. I wasn't sure how Oliver Smith had gotten so damn lucky to land Peyton Collier as a mate. I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little jealous of the two of them. Someday, I thought with longing. They left me to eat in peace. When I was done, I said hello to those I recognized at other tables, paid my bill, and thanked Kate before leaving. I drove straight over to the Smith house. I parked the car and got out to the sound of crunching snow beneath my feet. The air had just enough bite to sting my cheeks and turn them red. I practically jogged to the back of the house, stripping quickly and leaving my clothes on the back porch. Then I shifted. My wolf was larger than most, with a broad chest and big paws. He was gray, like most of the wolves in the area, but lighter than some. It was one of the things I loved about the snow. I could run almost in plain sight and blend in with the colors of winter. It made me feel equally invisible and invincible. I ran for several hours, jumping over logs and sliding across the already frozen creek. If I could get away with living in my fur the entire winter, I would do so in a heartbeat. It was the greatest feeling in the world. I sat back on my hind legs and tipped my nose to the sky. Then I howled. Much to my surprise, my howl was returned somewhere off in the distance. The excitement that it caused my wolf was overwhelming as he took off at a full run. We were right on the border of Collier when I regained control and skidded to a halt. We had a treaty, but that included no Larkin in wolf form on Collier land. Even knowing Thomas would forgive me, I respected him too much to break that, even for the beautiful melodic howl I knew would haunt me. Who was she? I wondered. My wolf sat back and howled again and again. She responded each time in kind, but her call got further and further away. Aggression flared within me, but I maintained control of my wolf and managed to turn us back around and slowly walk to the house as he whimpered the whole way.
Luke, Chapter 4.
Days later, I was still haunted by the female wolf that had returned my howl. I couldn't get that sound out of my head, and my wolf had been irritable ever since. I had my weekly meeting with Thomas, and was pacing his office impatiently waiting for him to join me. The door opened, and I turned. "What took you so long?" I barked, closing my eyes. I took a breath and fisted my hands, then released, trying to calm myself. "Are you okay?" Thomas asked. "You don't look so good." I sat down on a chair with a huff. "I'm fine. I just haven't been sleeping well." "Want to talk about it?" he answered awkwardly. "No. Yes. Maybe, I don't know." Thomas chuckled. "Did you find your mate?" I give him a puzzled look, wondering what would possess him to ask that. "I'm only asking because I don't know anything that would tie a man up in knots like you are right now, except his mate." I laughed in spite of myself. "No, I haven't met anyone. Though when I was out for a run a few days ago, you know, the first morning it snowed, well, my wolf howled, and the call was answered by a female from your pack. That sound has been haunting me. I just can't get it out of my head, and I haven't been sleeping well thinking about it. It's just weighing on me. I should probably take some NyQuil or something tonight just to try and sleep." Lily knocked and ran in before she could be invited. "Maybe you can't stop thinking about it because your wolf already knows that was your true mate responding."
"Lily, did you really turn off my dampener again?" Thomas asked.
"No, you left the door cracked open. I didn't even mean to eavesdrop on the conversation. But Luke, think about it. Who else could get an alpha so worked up that you're not even sleeping?"
Thomas laughed and pulled her down to sit on his lap. He wrapped his arms around her and gently kissed the mating mark on her neck.
Only a mate, Slugger, he agreed.
Lily smiled and nodded.
I laughed. Don't you think if my true mate were a Collier Wolf, I'd already know it?
I'm here every week. I would have crossed paths or at least caught her scent by now. It's not possible.
Oh, please, Lily said. Luke Larkin, you go to the diner, and you come here to the Alpha House. On a rare occasion, you stop in to check on your wolves out at the barn or on the ranch. You have not once, to my knowledge, and I make it a point to know everything that goes on in Collier, ventured beyond that.
Yeah, but this isn't my territory. I only go where I'm required, I admitted.
That's my point. You've only actually crossed paths with a couple dozen of our people. There's a few hundred more, half of which are female and mating potentials.
She bit her lip, then nearly exploded with excitement.
I have an idea.
Thomas shook his head.
Sorry, man, I can't control her when she gets like this.
She shot him a glare before turning back to me.
Just hear me out. It's a great idea.
We're listening, Thomas said, clearly to appease her.
Luke, you should come to Winter Solstice. It's the kickoff for our Christmas season, and everyone will be there. There's a pack run, and lots of food, dancing, and just everything. If your true mate is in Collier, she'll be there for sure.
I gave her a sad smile. Sorry, Lily, but that's not possible.
Why not? Thomas asked.
Seriously? Our agreement was no Larkin fur in your territory. I can't join you on a pack run.
Thomas shrugged.
So we make it an exception, our first combined pack run, mandatory for all Collier and Larkin wolves. We've been toying with the idea of merging our packs, even if we haven't agreed how to do it yet. This could be our first test to see if that's even something feasible to proceed working towards. Plus, when my mate sets her mind to something, there's really no use arguing about it with her.
I always win, Lily said.
Not always, Thomas said.
Always, Lily stated.
We'll discuss it some more, but we do have other business to discuss. Can you actually shut the door behind you?
Fine, she pouted. Think about it, Luke. Tomorrow night you could finally come face to face with your one true mate. Wouldn't it be awesome if she's really a Collier?
Lily was still gushing about it as she closed the door behind her.
I really am sorry. No pressure, but I'm not opposed to the idea. Your kids will be coming here after the holidays. It's new for the pack. Apparently it's a tradition in Weston Pack that Lily wants to establish here. No one really knows what to expect. She can easily put a spin on it with unity and friendship or something. It's just a great time to get everyone together.
What if it doesn't go so well? I asked, trying to think logically.
Then we have a glimpse of some of the obstacles we would face if we did merge the packs.
But really, Luke, what if everything goes smoothly? Is this still something you want?
I still believe it's in the best interest of my pack, yes, I said.
Then why not test drive it? And if Lily's right, who knows? Maybe you'll have your own Slugger before you know it.
I laughed and shook my head.
That's one thing I know for certain, Thomas. I do not have time for a mate right now. I'm not saying I'm opposed to the idea. Being Alpha can be a lonely job. I'm just saying that it's also a full-time commitment without room for a personal life.
He frowned. Lily and I mated before I took over as Alpha, so I guess I never really thought of it like that.
Imagine having to go through all of that at this point in your life, I pointed out.
He nodded.
Yeah, it would make things harder.
But Luke, it would still be worth it.
Those words hit me hard, and hours after the meeting had ended, I was still contemplating them. I sent out a text for an emergency pack meeting. Much to my surprise, they all heeded the call. We didn't have a pack house. Instead, we had a small common area in the middle of our trailer park. One of the first things I'd done as Alpha was clear the area and build a large fire pit. I felt strongly that we needed a place for pack meetings and gatherings. This was the best I could offer them for now, but it was far more than Jedediah had done for us. Wolves were communal animals, and as shifters, we craved that sense of belonging. Jed had never fostered that. He had left each of us to fend for ourselves.
I wanted a true pack. We were growing closer. The monthly pack runs were
Sample complete. Ready to continue?